Well, good morning. You're listening to the KPCW Local News Hour. It's 8:16. Our first guests this morning are Linda Jaeger with the she's the Park City Community Education Engagement Manager. Oh, I'm going to get this right. And Julia Collins, she's the Senior Transportation Planner with the city. They are here to talk about Park City Municipal's plans to host some fall project open houses, I guess it is. Welcome. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Good morning. Good morning on this nice rainy, snowy morning.
Yes, yes. On this, yeah, looks like it may happen too. So you're here to preview the projects. These are project initiatives that the Park City community is going to consider over the next year, that type of thing?
Yeah, actually, Carolyn, we do open houses twice a year. We started doing these as a collective opportunity for several departments within the city to come together and showcase current projects, future projects, and also an opportunity to report on progress. And we wanted to have them kind of as a one-stop shop for our residents, so it's convenient for them to come and to one place and learn about all sorts of projects and initiatives and so forth that the city is doing. So this is our fall edition. Will be September 24th, Tuesday, from 5 to 6:30 at the community room at the Park City Library. We've got several departments participating. Transportation planning, Julia is going to tell us a little bit more about their project in a minute. We've got folks from transit. They'll be talking about service for as we shift into the winter. We've also got representatives from our water team talking about the work that's being done at the Three Kings Water Treatment Plant. Celia Peterson from our environmental sustainability team will be there talking about electric vehicles and some anti-idling initiatives. We've got folks from housing. We will have information about our Woodside projects and also 100 Marsac. Public Works will be there with a little bit of preview about snow removal. Getting to be that time of year. And also Michelle Downard, who is our new resident advocate at the city, she'll be there to talk to folks a little bit more about her position and how she can help navigate the services at City Hall. We also have two of our community partners that will be joining us. The Park City School District will be there and sharing information about the master plan. And then the Park City Community Foundation will be there with the Social Equity Strategic Plan, which they just released, which is a project that we're working on with them as well. So it'll be a really great opportunity to learn a lot about what we're doing.
So you ran down a lot of people,
yeah,
a lot of departments. What? How are people going to absorb this? Is there a presentation? Is it kind of just a walk around and see what projects are going on? Will there be props and easels and that type of thing? Or how's it going to be set up?
Actually, yes. We have it set up around the perimeter of the room of the community room, so plenty of room to visit with different tables. All the different departments will be tabling, so they'll be having information which they hand out. I know in the past with the Woodside Phase 2 project, we've actually even had virtual reality headsets, so people can take a tour of a future project. And definitely renderings of projects, but it's an you'll have a chance to kind of go around, ask questions, take information. But it's a really good opportunity to talk to the project managers directly and find out more.
So will it be a chance for people to give input?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Julia, welcome. Thanks for coming in this morning. So last time the public had the opportunity to give some feedback on how they felt about different transportation issues, things like active transportation and bus access. What do you plan on showing us this time around?
That's a great question. Thank you for teeing me up. So this effort is called the Park City Forward, a Transportation Blueprint. And it is an effort to update our existing transportation master plan. And the last one was adopted in 2011. Since then, as everyone's aware, a lot has changed in Park City. So we're working to update our vision, our goals, our strategy, and projects for this transportation master plan. The project leading up to this point has been focused on gathering what transportation means to our community. And now we're at a critical junction in this plan development where we're working on transportation investments, projects, programs, and policies. And we want to hear from you on what your highest priorities are.
Okay, so the last time around, what were the things you took away and what's happened since then?
That's a great question. The last time we went out to the community, we were asking questions about how people currently travel. what are your existing travel behaviors and patterns, and what do you want them to be? We also heard general focus areas that people wanted us to look at with transportation. Focus on transit, active transportation, think about technology, roadways, and parking, and how land use and transportation demand management interact with the way in which we travel. So we've taken that to come up with high impact strategies. And some of these strategies, we have a whole host of them, but some of them include creating transit-only lanes that bypass congestion and make transit faster and more reliable, or providing aerial connections to Old Town that allow for direct non-motorized travel from nodes to nodes, or considering street designs that prioritize biking and walking. And there's a whole host of them, but we want to hear from you on which of those strategies are your top priorities so we can incorporate those into the plan.
Okay, and when you talk about active transportation, that's physical.
Great question. It's kind of a transportation geeky nerd term that we're using more and more. It's non-motorized human-powered transportation. So any transportation that you're active while you're doing it. And most commonly that's biking and walking. But in our community, that could be cross-country skiing. It could be rollerblading, it could be skateboarding. But most generally it's biking and walking.
Okay. And then you also mentioned technology. Like, what would be an example of technology and how that would apply for transportation?
Well, that's a good question. You know, in our day and age, technology is always emerging and evolving. A perfect example is our new VMS boards that you see along SR 224, 248, Kearns Boulevard, Deer Valley Drive, not Marsac. Those boards, we work closely with UDOT and have partnered with them to fund that and manage them. And that's a way for us to provide information to the public and drivers on a pretty quick, direct source way. And that's a great example of a new technology that we've brought into our community. So there, it's always evolving and we're looking at them and we're looking at best practices. But we want to make sure that our city is keeping up and providing the most up-to-date transportation experience with the technology available.
Yeah, so the city has been looking at some short-term transportation solutions, especially around Old Town traffic circulation, that type of thing. And there's been discussion about one-way roads, which I think we've implemented this summer. Will those stay in place through the winter? Is that the plan at this point?
I'm not sure at this point exactly where that project is headed for the winter. For the open house, we will have a list of draft projects from previously adopted transportation master plan. And we've pulled these projects together, and we want your feedback on how much those projects are a priority to you, what you think about those projects, and if we've missed anything that need to be included. So, at the open house, we'll have staff and some transportation experts available. There'll be maps there, and you'll be able to really, draw right in the projects that you feel really will add to the transportation network in our community.
Okay. And then you'd mentioned transit-only lanes.
That's
a big step. I mean, don't we have to kind of coordinate that with UDOT and get authorization for that?
That's a big strategy. Part of planning is creating a vision and developing a vision. And, I also mentioned aerial connections. So these are things and strategies that we would prioritize and put in the plan and then start to go after them. We have a limited amount of resources to put towards projects and policies. But we, as staff, want to make sure that the efforts that we are working on are really aligned with the community's goals.
Sure. And then last time there was also, wasn't there a presentation on the Woodside Park Phase 2 development, Linda?
Yes.
And then obviously that project has transportation elements worked in with it.
Absolutely. And I think it's, what we've seen with a lot of the community critical priorities is a synergy. And how they really can work together. So placing transit near some of our housing projects, obviously the environmental side and social equity as well. So, but yes, Woodside Park Phase 1 and 2, the housing team will have some information there. And as I mentioned before, we did have the virtual reality, which was tied into the Woodside Phase 2 project last time. So you really had an opportunity to walk through the project to get an idea. Again, it was the proposed project. And but it's very interactive, and definitely we'd love some feedback there. And we actually just did a preview of Woodside Phase 1, which is getting very close to finishing up, and we'll have information about that as well.
Okay. And then you mentioned that there's a resident advocate. What
yes.
is that? Is that person involved with the housing projects?
Michelle Downard, who's been on our staff for quite a while at MARSAC, she's been a great resource. And she's really, her new position is to really be the liaison to the community and help them navigate city services and process. So I think with a lot of the folks that we'll have at the different departments that we have at the open house, she'll also augment that information and be able to really help guide folks through their process. She puts out our BACO report, which is something we do monthly, and that's a roundup of construction projects, both being done by the city and also private within the city boundaries, and she'll be sharing that information as well. But she's been a great resource, and we wanted to continue to introduce her to the community in that role.
Okay. Sounds like a very information-filled evening.
It is, and it's a drop-by, no formal presentation, so you can come by any time between 5 and 6:30 and take your time. And we usually have about 80 folks that show up, so you'll see some familiar faces. It's a nice opportunity to connect with the community, see some friends, and learn all about what we're doing.
And just a recap, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday, 5 to 6:30 okay. at the community room at the Park City Library. And please bus, carpool, walk, active transportation, get there. We really encourage you to carpool and just find fun ways to get there. So.
Find an alternate way to arrive.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. That's Linda Jaeger, Park City Community Engagement Manager, and Julia Collins, Senior Transportation Planner, here to give us an update on the fall preview.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
Well, good morning. You're listening to the KPCW Local News Hour. It's 8:42. My next guest is the Park City Sunrise Rotary President, Andy Armstrong. He is on the line to tell us about the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Sunrise Rotary Geologic Park, which is scheduled to open officially. That's tomorrow, the 21st, at 12 noon. Good morning, Andy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Leslie.
This is Carolyn. Sorry about that.
Oh, Carol.
Should have let you know. So, So Andy, after 4.5 billion years of geologic evolution, 35 million years of turning wood into stone, and 2 decades of community vision, the Park City Sunrise Rotary Regional Geologic Park will be unveiled at this ceremony tomorrow, 12 noon. And the public is invited. Tell us a little bit about what people can expect at this geologic park.
Well, it should be a fun little ribbon-cutting ceremony. We have, at the park, we have 5 pillars that have, each pillar has 2 large storyboards that are on it, and they explain. We start way back at the very beginning when the continental plates were kind of together, and then we just talked about how they came apart, and there was a large volcanic activity area here. Kind of, if you looked out your window 33 million years ago, you would have seen a large plume of a really large volcano over at Jordanelle Reservoir area, and so we just talked about all that stuff, and then how the volcano exploded and tipped over huge, large forests that were right here and formed the petrified wood. So you can walk around all the pillars and kind of see the history starting back billions of years ago and coming right up to the present day, where we talk about how our mining community was formed and how, it's actually impacted our watershed. We also have a large box that has a bunch of petrified wood samples that the kids can, kind of crawl around and feel and see the polished petrified wood. So it should be fun.
Yeah, so going back a couple of decades here, in 1997, apparently somebody was operating some heavy equipment and they uncovered some, what, like 5 to 10 ton pieces of petrified wood, enormous pieces, while they were excavating. Yeah, so what?
Yeah, and samples off of that. And then, you know, recently, just about a decade ago, when they did the excavation at the Park City Storage Center, they found a whole bunch of other pretty large specimens of petrified wood, 20-foot lengths of trees that had been preserved really well. And we got a few of those, a few samples of that. We used that to put together our sample box at the park.
So what's happened to all of those samples? Are they all going to be at the park, or have they been kind of scooped up by bigger curators?
We've been able to get some, but obviously some of the other bigger pieces kind of belong to the property owner that was doing the excavation, and I'm not entirely sure where they ended up. But I'd like to think that as Silver Creek Village progresses, we may bump into other opportunities to obtain more samples for the park.
Yeah. So what was it that prompted the Sunrise Rotary Club to get involved and design this exhibit and put this kind of energy into a project like this?
Well, there's a lot of, and first of all, I'm not present. I just want to make that clear. I'm just one of the members of Sunrise Rotary. But Bill Lachlan is a hydrogeologist, and I'm an engineer. And we were out there with a co-worker of mine, Doug Evans, who's also has a mining engineer background as well as being a great water guy. But when we saw the excavations, we just started talking. Bill and Doug was explaining to me how unique this area is in terms of its regional geologic, what it was back then and what it is now. And I just thought it was really interesting. So we came up with the idea of maybe trying to form a park so that the general public could maybe get a better understanding of all the really unique geology, geologic features right underneath their feet. And maybe kids could get excited about, wandering around looking for rocks. And Bill and I chatted with Sunrise Rotary to see if they would be interested, and they were, and they've been really, really supportive. And we also had good support from Matt Lowe, the developer of Silver Creek Village, and all kinds of support from the community in terms of the Summit County RAP tax, and just a lot of people pitched in. Took a while, but we got there. Should be fun.
Yeah. So how can people find this new park? Is there...
Yeah, you want to take the exit off of 40 like you were going to go to Home Depot, but go around the roundabout and head north. So you'll go past Burr Brothers, the storage facility, and you'll be on North Pace Frontage Road. And then it's kind of the next right as you go down towards where the underpass goes under 40. And it'll be marked. It should be easy to find. So just, go like you're going to go to Burr Brothers, keep going north. And once you kind of get out of the developed area, the existing developed industrial park, get a little further, you'll take a right, and we'll be right at the top of the hill. You'll see everybody.
Sure. Okay. Well, it sounds great. And anything else that people ought to know about before we end up?
No, just, again, it's at noon, so we knew that the Peace House has their ribbon cutting ceremony, and maybe if you're on that part of town and you want to come over after that, you're more than welcome to come over and check out the new park. Should be fun.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, I mean, I love geology, but are there images that people can, will there be images there of what it looked like, with volcanoes and explosions?
Yeah. What's really on the storyboards, they have great illustrations of what the flora and fauna looked like back 30 million years ago. Also, they have great illustrations of all of the mega, the huge animals that were wandering around at that time. It's really, really cool. Yeah. And we'll also have little brochures that kind of that the people can take with them that are pretty educational. They're practically like a textbook. I mean, Bill Lachlan and the geologist that pitched in on this really did a great job. So there's some takeaways, and there's lots of good illustrations to look at while you're there.
So, and if people can't make tomorrow's ribbon cutting to get familiar with the park, can you go there on your own and sort of self-guide, basically?
Yeah, it's really a self-guided thing, and it's real tactile. The samples we have, we want people to be able to, feel, touch, sit on. We don't care. So, yeah, it's a real user-friendly park that you can go to anytime you get time.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Thank you. That's Andy Armstrong. He is
The
Park City Sunrise Rotary. Thanks again, Andy.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're listening to the KPCW Local News Hour. Our final guest this morning are three seniors from Park City High School, Clara Bradford, Hannah Pierce, and Viv Pinnell. And they're here to talk about a kind of an exciting event that's coming up this winter with the dance team. And it sounds like you all will be traveling to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yeah. So, let's have you speak right into those microphones. Let's start off by just asking who wants to speak first and tell us what this dance festival is all about.
So this dance festival...
Tell me your name.
Oh, so I'm Hannah Pierce.
Hannah, thank you.
So this is Nationals, and it's a pretty big deal. Only select high schools get to go, and they have an amazing opportunities there. They have tons of... workshops that dancers can take from special guest teachers all around the country come to teach them. And we have an exciting scholarship opportunity where there will be 40 different schools from around all of the U.S. And any like seniors can go and audition. And so, yeah, they'll...
And these are colleges, universities?
Yes. So okay. Colleges all around the U.S. will be... looking and giving out tons of scholarships to dancers there.
Okay. Yeah. And so what kind of dancing will you do? Is it basically across the board? I mean, from ballet to jazz and tap and whatever else?
Yeah. So there's all kinds of schools that are coming, like schools that focus specifically on like ballet and more classical styles of dance. And then there's some schools that are more modern. So there's a pretty widespread of everything. And so hopefully we'll be able to perform. If we get that opportunity, we'll do a more modern piece ourselves.
Okay. And what do you all have areas of expertise and specialties as far as your dance skills or what you're focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, I think people on Dance Company have a pretty wide range. A lot of us come from studio backgrounds, so we have a lot of technical training. But on dance, we get to like try out different styles, and it's a lot of fun.
So not necessarily the classical ballerina,
no,
on point, that type of thing.
Yeah, we've done all kinds of stuff. We've done African dance and tap and a whole wide variety.
And apologies, tell me your name, please.
I'm Vivian Pinnell.
Vivian, okay, great. Thanks, Vivian. And then by process of elimination.
I'm Clara, yes.
Okay, so why is Park City the only school that's attending this? I mean, are there certain qualifiers that have allowed you to get into this program, or?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, our company went. We didn't, the three of us didn't get to go, but other dancers went. And hopefully, I'd like to think they were impressed with us the year that we went. So they invited us back this year, so.
Okay, and... let's get a little bit of a rundown of what that means financially to get all of you there. How many students will be attending?
Yeah, so our company has 14 members on it, and the cost for each student is about $1,500. And so we are doing our very best to do as many fundraisers and ways to raise money so that we can bring the whole company, because if we can't bring the whole company... It will still work out. It's just not quite, if it's an amazing experience for all of us to have.
And how big is your company?
So 14 members.
14, okay.
Yes, just
okay.
On Dance Company.
All age range? I mean, from 9th to 12th grade? Or?
So Dance Company is sophomores through seniors.
Okay.
Yes.
And Hannah, have you competed in dance?
Yes. So we, as dance company, don't do very many competitions. We tend to go to festivals and different convention type of places. But as far as like studio dance, as Clara said, we have some dancers who dance separately at studios who compete more for like awards and stuff. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Clara, tell us a little bit about how your dance team, you call yourselves a team, how you are going to raise all this money, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, so we first have a Live PC, Give PC page, so we're advertising that a lot. And then we have a lot of fundraisers. So in January, we have our youth dance clinic, which is where we teach kids from kindergarten to eighth grade a dance to perform at a halftime, at a basketball halftime. So that's a lot of fun. And then in October, the day before Halloween, we're going to do a mini dance clinic that's just teaching them fun dances like Thriller and Monster Mash. So,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, right, which is just starting up here at the Egyptian. Have you all attended those Thriller performances?
Oh, yeah,
I love Thriller.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So amazing.
Yeah, so when you invite the younger kids to participate, do you have a lot of young K through third graders who are interested in doing this?
Yeah, we do. There's a lot, and it's a lot of fun for
us
to
get
to work with them.
Yeah. We usually have a pretty good turnout, and it's so much fun because they have a real performance opportunity in front of the whole student body and their parents and whoever attends the basketball game. So,
and which basketball game? Is there a certain game that you're focusing on that they're going to be performing? Or?
Not necessarily. It's just usually it's in January this year.
And there's so many of them.
Yeah, I think it's the last week of January.
Yeah, yeah. It okay. varies every year, but
kind of mm-hmm. closer to when you're heading out to
yes.
Pittsburgh.
Yes, exactly.
So, will you be performing at all as part of your fundraising efforts to get there, or do you have a performance schedule set up for the fall at this point? Or
we've had ideas. Like, we're still kind of in the process of maybe we could do a little more fundraising. Maybe have some other ideas. So we don't have any like performances we're doing specifically for fundraising purposes. But we're performing today at the homecoming pep rally and the homecoming halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting.
Two separate performances today.
Yep. Yeah.
And these, this is actually our first halftime of the year, but we have more to come, about two more. Three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple more.
And then, later on in the season when basketball starts, we'll perform there. We'll do other pep rallies and assemblies and
okay.
Yeah, plenty of performances.
If somebody wants to find out what you're doing, when and where you're performing, where would they go?
You can find us on the Park City High School page, mm-hmm. or you can contact our director, Ashley Mott, at amott, that's M-O-T-T, at pcschools.us for any questions, or if you're interested in getting your kids into the youth dance clinic or anything like that, you can contact her with questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. And today is homecoming.
It is.
Yes,
game,
it's homecoming
which has
weekend.
Been a big week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good luck with your performance at the
Thank
pep rally.
You.
Thank
and then
you.
At halftime, hopefully the snow will stop. They're calling yep. for snow.
Yeah, if not, we'll perform anyway.
yep. And do you have costumes? Are you, or do you? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
It's
sparkly tank tops.
Yep, sequin tank top. It's a tradition for a homecoming dance, so it's a
yes,
lot of fun.
Regardless of what time of year it might be.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. Well, girls, thanks for coming by. Really appreciate that. And good luck with your fundraising efforts and
Thank
good
you.
Luck with all your performances coming up.
Thank
you so
Thank
much.
You so
Thank
much.
You for having us